Let's continue reading verses 14 through 21 of Romans chapter 12. Now, in this last section of Romans 12, we have some guidelines given to believers for how to relate to unbelievers. Romans 12, beginning at verse 14. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice, and weep with those who weep. Be of the same mind toward one another. Do not set your mind on high things, but associate with the humble. Do not be wise in your own opinion. Repay no one evil for evil. Have regard for good things in the sight of all men. If it is possible, as much as depends on you, live peaceably with all men. Beloved, do not avenge yourselves, but rather give place to wrath. For it is written, "Vengeance is mine, I will repay," says the Lord. Therefore, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him a drink. For in so doing, you will heap coals of fire on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Once again, let's begin this section with a few background notes. In Romans chapter 12, the Apostle Paul, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, urges believers to be what we believe, to do and practice what we believe in doctrine. We begin with our responsibility to live a godly life on a personal and individual level. Then we move on to our responsibility to use our spiritual gift or gifts in the body of Christ. That was verses 3 through 8. In verses 9 through 13, we move on to our responsibility to relate to fellow believers in a positive way so that peace and harmony are maintained in our churches and fellowships. And now, in verses 14 through 21, we move on even further to see our responsibilities in reference to unbelievers. Remember that when Paul wrote this letter to the Roman Christians in the first century, already Christians were beginning to experience some persecution from the pagan Roman authorities and the Roman populace. At the same time, Christian slaves were bringing higher prices, and the pagan world could not deny that the Christians showed love for one another and for their enemies as well. It's against this background that Paul wrote to the Roman Christians to remind them of how to relate to the unbelievers in all of these situations. Well, this is the word of God to us today, not just a letter by Paul to the Roman Christians in the first century. We live in a real world. We don't try to escape it. We must relate to unbelievers. How do we do it? Romans 12, 14 through 21 gives us the answer. 8 guidelines. And so these will be the 8 guidelines under our doctrinal point. The godly believer practices the biblical guidelines for peace with fellow men. The godly believer practices the biblical guidelines for peace with fellow men. So we have 8 guidelines here. I think we can put them in the do's and don'ts format. So guideline number 1, don't badmouth people. Verse 14, bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Do you badmouth your non-Christian colleague at work or non-Christian neighbor? Or do you bless them? The Lord Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5, verse 44, but I say to you, love your enemies. Bless them that curse you. Do good to those who hate you and pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you. Think of what our Lord Jesus said from the cross at his crucifixion. Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they do. Luke 23. Think of what Stephen said as he was stoned to death as a martyr. Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. Acts chapter 7. It was Stephen's prayer that became a link in Paul's salvation. So don't badmouth people. Guideline number 2. Do identify with people. Verse 15, rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. Be of the same mind toward one another. The idea there is it's emphasizing how we're to identify with people. Not all non-Christians are out to persecute us. In fact, the average unbeliever is willing to be your friend. We're all going through life together. We have similar problems. We have similar experiences. Well, when unbelievers experience sorrow, we should weep with them. When unbelievers experience something good, we should rejoice with them, like a raise at work or a better job. Did you know that it's a lot easier to weep with a person than to rejoice with them? When things are going better for our unbelieving friends and neighbors, there's a tendency for us to be jealous, right? But we are to rejoice with those who rejoice, weep with those who weep. You know, this can be a form of evangelism. In fact, it is. It's called relationship evangelism. From rejoicing with people, weeping with people, you can walk across the bridge right there to begin to evangelize. Do identify with people. Guideline number 3, don't think you're better than other people. Verse 16, do not set your mind on high things, but associate with the humble. Do not be wise in your own opinion. Let me ask you a question here this morning. Do you have to live on the right side of the tracks or in the right neighborhood? Why? What's the real reason? Does the social status of your friends mean a lot to you? Do you really think you're better than the lowly? Don't be wise in your own opinion. It's God's opinion that counts. Don't think you're better than other people. Guideline number 4, don't try to get back at people. Verse 17, repay no one evil for evil. You try to get back at people? Somebody at work or a neighbor says something or does something to hurt you, and you look for an opportunity to return the favor. Don't repay evil for evil. Or else, you know what will happen? You'll be overcome with evil. That's the point of verse 21. Do not be overcome with evil. If you continue the vicious cycle of trying to get back at people, you will be consumed and overcome by evil. You will die a bitter and sorry Christian. Don't try to get back at people. Guideline number 5, do avoid suspicion of people. Again, verse 17, have regard for good things in the sight of all men. The idea here is that we not only abstain from wrongdoing, but we do everything we can to avoid suspicion. Let me give you a different translation here. This is the NIV. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everyone. How we appear before others is important. You might have thought, it doesn't matter how it appears as long as I'm right in my heart before the Lord and what I'm doing. No, it does matter. Don't even borrow tools from the workshop or office supplies from the office if it looks like you're taking advantage of your employer. The unbeliever, I can guarantee you, they're bound to be suspicious and accuse you. Do avoid the suspicion of people. Guideline number 6, do strive for peace with people. Verse 18, if it is possible, as much as depends on you, live peaceably with all men. As much as possible, we try to live at peace with our unbelieving neighbors and colleagues and contacts, even if it means getting stepped on a few times. You know, when I was growing up, I remember one of our neighbors put up a split rail fence between our two properties, and he actually put it about 6 inches on our property so that a particular lilac bush could be included on his side of the fence. Well, I'll never forget my father's reaction to this. I remember hearing him tell my mother, "It's okay, dear. We can still enjoy the flowers." Amazing. My father was a great witness to this man as a result. He was a great example of this verse. Do strive for peace with people. Guideline number 7. Do let God zap people. Verse 19. Beloved, do not avenge yourselves, but rather give place to wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine. I will repay, says the Lord. Did you ever wish God would zap a certain person? Maybe a boss or a teacher or a neighbor. They really hurt you. Well, maybe God will do just that. But we're not to do the zapping. Never take your own revenge. We leave all of that in the hands of God. Instead of revenge, we follow guideline number 8. Overcome the evil of people with good for people. Verse 21. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. You know, this is really in a people context. The evil that unbelievers do to hurt us. How do we deal with it? We overcome it with good. Last Thanksgiving, Margie and I put on a dinner in our apartment. I say Margie and I, she did all the work. I invited the people. But we put on this dinner in our apartment for all our new neighbors in the apartment complex. Well, one young man was totally surprised that we invited him. Because in the conversations that I had had with him up to this point, he had mocked Christianity. He had said all Christians were hypocrites, etc., etc. So he was totally amazed that we invited him. Why did we do that anyway? We were practicing Romans 12, 20, and 21. Therefore, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him a drink. For in so doing, you will heap coals of fire on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Since that time, this guy has shown a completely different attitude. Overcome the evil of people with good for people. Well, there's your 8 biblical guidelines for how we should relate to unbelievers. Well, what about practical application? Remember, your kindness will have an effect on the unbeliever. Remember, your kindness will have an effect on the unbeliever. Verse 20, once again. Therefore, if your enemy hungers, feed him. If he thirsts, give him a drink. For in so doing, you will heap coals of fire on his head. Now, what does that mean anyway? To heap coals of fire on a person's head. Well, it does not mean adding fuel to the fire in reference to the person's eternal punishment. No. It means that our acts of kindness will bring a burning shame to the unbeliever. And notice it is not maybe our kindness will have this effect on an unbeliever's conscience. The verse says that our acts of kindness will have this kind of effect on the unbeliever. So if we show kindness to the unbeliever and overcome evil with good, then we can be sure that our kindness will have an effect on the unbeliever. So don't say that your kindness doesn't have an effect. It does have an effect. Now, when the conscience of an unbeliever is affected in this way, there is either a negative response and a hardening of the heart, or a positive response and a softening of the heart. As Romans chapter 2, verse 4 indicates, the goodness of God can lead and should lead a person to repentance. And that's what we pray for. So remember, your kindness will have an effect on the unbeliever.